Alaska's first steps into statehood were shaped by its inaugural legislative class, a group of senators and House representatives who set the young government on its course 6 decades ago. One of those first legislators, James Fisher, played an equally prominent role in shaping the Kenai Peninsula. Jim died of COVID-19 last month at his home at Heritage Place in Soldotna. He was 93. Those who knew Jim remember him for his deep-rooted political involvement and unflinching advocacy for local people and causes, and his love for his kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids. Here's daughter Sally Tachik of Soldotna.
If my dad ran the world, everybody would have a place to sleep and food to eat.
Jim was born in Ohio and grew up in Texas. He spent several years in Asia with the Army and Marines and came to Anchorage in 1955, following the spirit of adventure and the legacy of his great-grandfather, who had sought gold in the Klondike. He became involved in Operation Statehood and was elected to the first Alaska legislature in 1959, one of 8 representatives from Anchorage. The legislature was majority Democrat at the time. Jim was a loyal Democrat his entire life. Michelle Vasquez remembers meeting him at a District 30 Democratic Party meeting years later.
And he said he was Jim Fisher, and he was the oldest living Roosevelt Democrat on the Kenai Peninsula. I was like enamored from that moment. I said, I've got to get to know this guy.
Jim married his wife, Helen, in 1960. Shortly after, he lost re-election to the State House and the family moved down to the peninsula, where they raised Tachik and their son, Bruce, in Soldotna and then Kenai. That's where Jim opened his law practice. He recruited Jim Hornaday to be his partner.
Once he set a goal, he generally accomplished it. I was clerking for the court up in Anchorage, and he literally dug me out of the courthouse and offered me a partnership in his firm down on the Kenai Peninsula.
Hornaday didn't know him then. The two ended up practicing together for over a decade.
We basically made legal services available in areas where it hadn't been available. He was the first practitioner in Kenai, and then I think we opened the first office in Homer.
Jim and Helen also spent several years in Juneau. There, they adopted Corey Mann, then a teenager, who they helped guide through school. The theme for Jim was always service. He founded the Kenai Bar Society and was a representative to the USDA during the Carter administration. He was deeply involved with local causes and was famously committed to the Kenai Peninsula Food Bank, where he was inducted into the first Hall of Fame. Jim always kept up to date with politics. Tachik says when she was going through his things, she found receipts from campaigns he had donated to out east. He supported candidates he believed in all over the country. Vasquez says he especially wanted to support women who ran for office. He supported the League of Women Voters and worked hard to overturn SB 21, a referendum on tax cuts for Alaska oil companies. Hornaday, who became a lifelong friend, says they would have friendly debates from the other side of the aisle.
Oh yeah, we'd go round and round on the politics.
Jim's patronage extended into the realm of music. Once Helen died, he dove into the peninsula's live music scene, attending open mic nights and shows, usually multiple times in one night. Some of his favorites were Soldotna musicians Sue Biggs and Jack Will. Here's Biggs.
Jim, being the lawyer that he was, in his pocket he had a little notepad and a pen, but he'd pull it out and he would write down songs that he liked. And then if we came back another Friday or Saturday, and he would be there having his soup. He always liked to have a bowl of soup. And he would pull out his little notepad and he'd say, how about that, you know, put out the cat or something like that. And so he started having a list of songs that he liked of ours.
He kept it up when he moved into Heritage Place, Central Peninsula Hospital's long-term living facility. Even in his old age, he was determined to get to know the people around him, Tachik says.
And when he would talk to you, he wanted to know about you. He's quizzed all of his CNAs and nurses about how many kids do you have, and so what is your daughter studying in college?
COVID-19 swept through Heritage Place in November. Fisher tested positive for the virus and died 4 days later, November 21st. The facility was buttoned up to prevent the spread of coronavirus. Bruce says the last time they visited face-to-face was in September.
That's the saddest thing I've ever had to do is when we Zoomed and he was in the emergency room. And you can tell he's just gasping for air. And his eyes were bugged out a little bit. And the doctor says, is there anything you want to say to your son? come get me, come get me. God, just tore me up.
Before Jim died, Biggs and Will played some of his favorite songs over FaceTime. Like always, he did his best to sing along, Biggs says.
You could tell, like, his lips were kind of moving, even though, you know, he wasn't really all there. But the, you could tell he was singing. I could hear him. Yeah, I could tell he was singing along. We were singing all his favorite songs that he loved to sing along with us.
They even changed the words to an old folk tune he liked for his 80th birthday. Here's part of The Lawyer Song by Sue Biggs and Jack Will. In Kenai, I'm Sabine Pooks.
Chorus between bites of apple pie.